right before the book of Hebrews. It's a small little letter of Paul, 25 verses. So I plan on doing a 25-part sermon series, one on each verse. That would really be expounding on the text, but no. This will be a short sermon series. In fact, our text this morning will be verses 1 to 7. Verses 1 to 7, the book of Philemon. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful epistle. How it speaks to the spiritual principle of forgiveness. We're so thankful that in Christ we have been forgiven for all our sin, past, present, and future. They were paid for on the cross. The penalty for our sin was taken care of because of Jesus Christ. Father, may all of us be quick to forgive one another. May none of us harbor bitterness, unforgiveness, but may we, with joy, quickly forgive those who sin against us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has not received Christ as their Savior, that they would clearly understand that because of their sin, they are separated from a holy God. They deserve eternal death in the lake of fire, but that you provided a way for us to be saved. That Jesus Christ came, he lived a sinless life, and then he laid down his life and became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That through him and him alone, we can be forgiven. He died, but on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he alone is victorious over sin, over death, over hell. And everyone who calls upon him is saved, is delivered from their sin. And they as well are victorious over sin, over death, over hell. We're so thankful we have a Savior. We're so thankful that we're forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my goals in this short sermon series is that when you think of the book of Philemon, I want you to think of forgiveness. It is beautifully illustrated, demonstrated in the text. And the next time you are tempted to harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, you can run to Philemon and see how we are commanded to forgive and the Christ-like character that leads to forgiveness. And that's kind of what we'll look at this morning in verses 1 to 7. The Christ-likeness that will lead to forgiving someone the way God has forgiven us. It's So an epistle of Paul is clearly stated. Now, for a Christian, who is unwilling, maybe you've been here to some degree. I know I have. A Christian who is unwilling, and that includes delayed forgiveness. It's unthinkable. But unfortunately, it's prevalent in our lives. But when we reflect on the fact that God has forgiven us from all of our wicked deeds and thoughts and actions, from the, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And as we ponder that and reflect it, how dare we refuse to forgive someone who sins against us? I have harbored unforgiveness in my heart, in my life, since I've been born again. And what I mean by that, by not quickly forgiving someone, whether it's my wife or someone else, delayed forgiveness is unforgiveness. And I just want to quickly speak to some of the results of not forgiving or failure to forgive someone. Number one, by not choosing to forgive, you are imprisoning yourself in your past. Meaning, unforgiveness keeps that pain alive. It does. Unforgiveness keeps that sore open. It never allows the wound to heal. Dwelling on the wrong that people have done towards you, if someone has sinned against you and you are dwelling upon it, you are refusing to forgive them, it feeds anger, it feeds resentment, and it robs you of the joy of the Lord. Very devastating, very destructive is unforgiveness. On the other hand, forgiveness opens the prison doors and sets the believer free from their past. It restores the joy of the Lord. It reconciles you to other people in your lives. It sets you free. Why would you want to choose unforgiveness? Number two, unforgiveness produces bitterness in your heart. The longer believers dwell on offenses committed against them, the more bitter they become. Bitterness is not just sin. It can be described as an infection that grows. Hebrews 12:15, the writer says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." Bitterness distorts a person's whole outlook on life. It is especially devastating in the marriage relationship. Bitterness shuts off affection. It shuts off kindness towards your spouse. The root of bitterness for unforgiveness, therefore, all too often produces the weed of divorce, because the husband or the wife or both refuse to forgive one another. And as we continue in this text, you will see that forgiveness is a choice. You either choose to forgive or you refuse to forgive. Because some of you say, well, how could I ever forgive them for that offense against me? You choose to do so. You make the choice. I don't care what they've done to you. But we see God gives us the ability because of Jesus Christ. As we become more like Him in character, we are more quickly to forgive others when they sin against us. Thirdly, unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. Paul warns believers in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. To the Corinthians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. It's no exaggeration to say that most of the ground Satan gains in our lives can be credited to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If love fulfills the law towards others, Romans 13, 8, then lack of love violates it. And unforgiveness is a lack of love. Then fourthly, unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive other their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. These verses do not speak to forgiveness in regards to salvation. That was a completed act performed by Christ on the cross. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You deserved hell, but God provided a way for you to be saved. And when you put your faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, your sins were forgiven. What it speaks to is an ongoing relational forgiveness between believers and the Father. So if we are harboring unforgiveness towards one another, it's going to affect our relationship with God in heaven. We won't have that joy. We won't have that love in our hearts. Forgiveness restores the believer to the place of maximum blessing from God. So when you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart, that might turn into bitterness, and you are refusing to forgive something, you are robbing yourself of a blessing from God Himself. Well, that was a longer introduction than I usually give. But I want you to see how important forgiveness is and how destructive unforgiveness is in all of your relationships. I don't care what someone has done to you. You have been forgiven from all your sin, all your wicked thoughts and deeds and all the things that you've done to people. And now you've sinned against a holy God, and He freely, with joy, forgave you. Open arms. Made it possible for you to be saved, to be a child of God. How dare we harbor unforgiveness towards someone else in our lives? Paul, verse 1, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier. We don't know for sure who Apphia is or Archippus. Many believe Apphia was Philemon's wife. Archippus was then their son. Don't know for sure, but that's kind of the picture we have. Then he says, in the church in your house. So this is kind of, he's addressing Philemon. It's his home, and it's also his wife's a part of that home, and so is their son. Don't know for sure, but that's kind of the way I look at it as well. And as he starts many of his letters, Paul says, grace to you. What a wonderful way to start a letter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this greeting appears in all 13 of Paul's epistles. Grace is the means of salvation, and peace is the result of salvation. We are all saved by God's grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And the result is peace. Peace with God. We are reconciled to our Creator. We are reconciled to our God. We are no longer an enemy, but we are a child. We are forgiven, and we have peace with God. What a great result of saving grace. A relationship with the eternal God. And then verses 4 to 7. Paul is now describing the spiritual characteristics of someone who is quick to forgive. You might read this, and it might appear, well, it seems like Paul is kind of stroking his ego, trying to flatter him. He is appealing. He is praising Philemon and appealing to his godly virtue. But it's not to flatter him, to puff him up. That's not what Paul is doing here. So before he requests Philemon to forgive Onesimus, he's reflecting on who Philemon is because of Christ. And the first thing that he talks about in verses 4 and 5 is a concern for the Lord. Verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So the first thing he has is a concern for the Lord, the faith that he has toward the Lord Jesus. And in the Greek, you have is in the present tense. It demonstrates a continuous nature of Philemon's faith in the Lord. So Paul is appealing to this. He's appealing to the fact that Philemon's a believer of Christ. He has a growing relationship with Jesus Christ because he has been forgiven of his sins, because he has trusted in Christ through faith. He's been forgiven. He should be quick to forgive Onesimus. I love the comment. I love the scriptures in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then Paul also says in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You see how forgiveness is not an option? Do you understand that? And when I say not an option, I mean not an option for a believer who wants to be obedient to the Lord. Forgiveness is not an option. You can make that choice and you can sin against God and a fellow brother or sister in Christ. You have that free will. But if you want to be obedient and pleasing to God, unforgiveness is not an option. It's just not. And we make excuses for it. We say, I'm not ready to forgive. So you're ready to continue to sin, is what you're saying? I mean, think about it. And that's why I said from the beginning, I've been in this place. Because delayed forgiveness is disobedience. And it robs us of our joy. You might not be ready to forgive, but you need to acknowledge at least then or later on that when you delayed the forgiveness, you were actively sinning against God and your fellow man. It's that simple. If we want to be pleasing for the Lord and we are growing in our faith, evidence that we are doing so, understand this, evidence that you are maturing in Christ, that you are growing your faith, that you are quick to forgive others who sin against you. It's that simple. That's part of spiritual maturity. I'm not saying it's not difficult at times. It's not painful when someone sins against you. And there's a lot of heartache and a lot of things you got to deal with. But if you harbor that unforgiveness and you say, I refuse, I'm not ready. Well, when are you going to be ready? Ask yourself that. I'm sure someone here in this building has experienced this, and maybe they're harboring it now in their heart. Maybe it's been a root of bitterness towards someone for a year, maybe 5, maybe 10. Maybe it's only been a week. There's something, you just want to hold on to that unforgiveness that feeds that flesh, and you feed upon it. Your sin nature likes it. You don't want to let it go. And you're robbing yourself of a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. You're robbing yourself of blessings, of communing with your father and with your brother and sister in Christ. First is a concern for the Lord, then a concern for people. Look again at verse 5. Because I hear of your love, and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So all the saints, you got to connect the word love and for all the saints. So Paul is saying, Philemon, you have a growing relationship with your Father, with your Savior, with God. And you also demonstrate this agape love for all the saints. And agape love, again, like forgiveness, when you choose to forgive, you are choosing to love. They go hand in hand. If you are harboring unforgiveness and you refuse to forgive someone, you are, in that instance, not loving them the way you are called to love them. So now Paul is appealing to Philemon's virtue of love for the saints. This love, this agape love, is in you if you're a believer in Christ. So you can't make the excuse, I just can't do it, Pastor. I can't love that person. Have you met him or her? I can't. Have you been to my workplace? You would know what I'm talking about. I can't love him or her. Not going to happen. Wait a minute. Wasn't the love of God shed abroad in your heart? Don't you have the Holy Spirit in you? Were you easy to love when Christ died for your sin on the cross? Was that easy? It was a willful choice for Christ to shed his life. And it's a willful choice for you to love others. Romans 5:5, as I reference, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we can choose to love others. So a concern for the Lord, a concern for people. Then look at a concern for fellowship, verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. The word sharing there, in other translations, other versions of Scripture, is translated fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. Great word. It refers to a mutual sharing of all life. It could be translated belonging. Believers belong to one another in a mutual partnership produced by their faith in Christ. So Paul's appealing to this. Philemon, you have a love for God. Your faith is growing. You have a love for saints. And you also have a desire to be a part of a fellowship. You belong to one another. You belong to Onesimus. He belongs to you. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are in this together. And what a great, powerful testimony. As it says, the sharing of your faith may become effective, powerful. That partnership, by you are willing to be restored to Onesimus. You are willing to be restored in fellowship. What a powerful testimony that is to the whole body of Christ, as Onesimus was a part of it. And then he had a concern for knowledge, for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. As believers, whenever you find yourself becoming discouraged and you start seeing yourself complaining, it's amazing how easy it is for us to complain, isn't it? It doesn't take much. Remind yourself, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's there for our taking. Because we are in Christ, we are born again. We are seated in Christ in the heavenly places. He blesses us from the heavenly places. He now appeals. This word knowledge means experiential knowledge. See, it's one thing to read about forgiveness in Scripture and see examples of it. It's a whole other thing to actually put it into practice and you experience it yourself. As lost sinners, when we trust in Christ, we experience forgiveness. We experience of being made a child of God, of being reconciled to God, of receiving the righteousness of Christ, of being born again. And then when we administer and forgive one another, we also experience what that's like of forgiveness and the joy that it brings to our heart and how it restores relationships. And then finally, a concern for glory and for being a blessing. Look at verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. So, believer who's in a place to forgive, understands that everything is for the glory of God. See, when we are harboring unforgiveness, we're consumed with ourselves. How we've been hurt. How what they've done has affected us. And I don't want you to think that I'm not sympathetic towards how people can hurt you. I am. But I also understand how destructive not forgiving them is to you, to the body of Christ. See, when your goal in life is the glory of God, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If that's truly where you are, to do everything that pleases the Lord, it doesn't matter what someone's done to you, your family, your reputation, because you understand that Your life is not your own. It was bought with a price. God owns you. And through your body and through your life, you want to do what's pleasing to your Father to the glory of God. And that requires forgiveness. It does. Someone who's concerned with the glory of God is someone who is quick to forgive. And then he closes in verse 7, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." A concern to be a blessing. Philemon had a reputation for refreshing others. Philemon brought troubled people rest and renewal. That's what the word refreshed means. He was a peacemaker. He refreshed others. People struggling, suffering, hurting emotionally, physically, they were refreshed by Philemon. See what Paul's doing here before he requests Philemon to forgive? He's not being manipulative. In this short epistle, he's saying, Philemon, you love the Lord. Your faith is growing. You have a love for God's people. You have a love for the fellowship. You have a love for knowledge. You have a love for God's receiving the glory. And you have a love of refreshing the saints. Forgive Onesimus is what we'll look at next week. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've never received Christ as your personal Savior. Never trusted in Christ. For me, that took place in 1992. Approximately 25 years ago. I knew I was a sinner. Didn't have to convince me of that. But then I finally understood the solution to my sin. I couldn't earn forgiveness. I couldn't earn a right relationship with Christ. There was only one way for me to be saved or delivered from my sin. Jesus Christ. Because He and He alone lived a sinless life. And then He and He alone, He laid down His life for the whole world. But then it finally clicked. He did it for me. Christ died for me. He shed His blood. He bore my sin. My sin. He had me on His mind when He went to the cross. And He had you on His mind as well. He died for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. You cannot get to heaven through your own righteousness because it's unrighteous. It's as filthy rags. You can't earn forgiveness. It required a Savior. That's why Jesus came and died on a cross to pay for your sin. And He rose again from the dead. If you've never trusted in Christ for forgiveness of sins, right now, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, from a repentant heart, you can cry out to Him, Father, believe that Jesus died for me, that He took upon my sin, that He rose again from the dead, and I ask Him to forgive me for all my sin. Trust in Christ today, and you too will be forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved, but right now, there's someone in your life that you are refusing to forgive. How's that work for you? How's that working for you? You see any joy from that? You see any fruit of the Holy Spirit from that? It's destructive. It's devastating. Forgive. Choose to forgive. Make the choice. I choose forgiveness. I choose forgiveness. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand up. I have a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come.